President Putin's grand vision for a new Russian-led union to rival the EU launches today. It's a giant new economic union connecting an area that's about as large as the U.S. and Canada put together. The Eurasian Economic Union, as it's known, joins together Russia, Kazakhstan, and Belarus. Armenia will become an official member tomorrow. Kyrgyzstan will also join up in the summertime. Negotiations are going on with other nations in the region as well. It's set up to be a single market, such as the European Union, and include a core a development bank, and possibly a parliament. It's part of Putin's plan to stitch together former Soviet republics into something that resembles the European Union. But the pact goes into effect amid conflict between Russia and Ukraine, with the Russian currency and economy staggering, and with a small Baltic nation of Lithuania taking a step in the opposite direction, formally giving up its currency today to adopt the euro. Stephen Pfeiffer is a former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. He's director of the Arms Control and Nonproliferation Initiative at the Brookings Institution. He joins us from Washington. Hello, Stephen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Tell us about what's happening on this New Year's Day in Russia right now with the establishment of this Eurasian Economic Union and how important it is. As we say, it brings together a massive area, about 200 million people. What's it going to do?
Right. Well, I'd first put this in the context, which going back to almost immediately after the collapse of the Soviet Union, one saw efforts by Russia to create institutions like the Commonwealth of Independent States that would give Russia influence in the post-Soviet space. And I think the Eurasian Economic Union is the latest attempt. Certainly, it covers a large land area, although in the size of the economics, it's probably about a sixth the size of the European Union.
And a sixth of the size, but what kind of trade is there already among these member states? I mean, how will things change with the union?
Well, the economies are already fairly wired because, again, a lot of the economic ties that existed in Soviet times held over after the collapse of the Soviet Union. So you have those economic relations going there. But I think it's also very much in the mind of Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin. It's a geopolitical project, as they're looking at it not just in economic terms, but as a way to expand Russian influence in the region.
And how would it do that?
Again, by creating institutions which will give Moscow greater influence in Kazakhstan and Belarus. But it comes at a time when you look at, I think, both Belarus and Kazakhstan have become much more wary about Russia in the aftermath of Russian aggression against Ukraine. So, for example, yesterday, President Lukashenko of Belarus was talking about we in Belarus need to reduce our dependency on the Russian economy, which is kind of an odd message to be giving on the eve of the coming into force of the Eurasian Economic Union.
So is that kind of sentiment likely to corrode any power, at least at the outset, that this Eurasian Economic Union has?
My guess is that both in Kazakhstan and in Belarus, while they see certain advantages to the economic aspects of the union, there's also going to be a certain wariness that they don't get pulled into Russian policies with which they disagree. So, for example, in July, as one of its responses to the European Union and the United States imposing sanctions on Russia, the Russians announced that they were going to ban food imports from most Western countries. Neither Kazakhstan nor Belarus were prepared to go along with that.
President Putin, when he was imagining this, he said he wanted to be kind of a mirror to the EU in makeup and ultimately a counter to the European Union. How much competition might this Eurasian Economic Union provide for the EU?
My guess is that the European Union is not going to see the Eurasian Economic Union as a significant competitor, in part because where economic and trade relations make sense between countries in the two groupings, those things are going to continue.
And how about in terms of Washington? Does Washington see it as a threat?
I don't think Washington will look at this, you know, not particularly as an economic threat, in part because American economic relations or trade relations with the three countries are really relatively low, you know, on par with countries such as Costa Rica. Washington will watch this in terms of, does this provide a successful vehicle for Russia to extend political influence in the region. But again, there's a sense that, you know, those countries that are on the other side, Kazakhstan and Belarus, on the other side from Russia, are also a bit worried about not getting pulled into things that forces them to do things that they consider against their own political interests.
It's an economic union, though. Does it have a military aim or a military component, if you say that this is really kind of a geopolitical power grab by Russia's President Putin?
Not per se, although Russia several years ago established what's called the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which includes Kazakhstan and Belarus and several other countries. Although, again, there's been some wariness. Uzbekistan, for example, was originally one of the members of the CSTO, the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which at the time the Russians portrayed as a counterpart to NATO. But the Uzbeks basically laid down very severe restrictions in terms of what their military would and would not do. And again, hesitancy on the part of other countries that they not get pulled into Russian foreign policies with which they disagree.
One would think that if President Putin had been planning this union for so long, this alliance, even if it's a loose one, for so long, that the measures that he would have made since then would have been inclined to try and lure more countries in. It sounds like it's doing just the opposite.
Well, again, I think he's had some success with Kazakhstan and Belarus because there was some basic economic rationale there. In the case of Armenia, Armenia seemed to be on course to doing an association agreement with the European Union back last summer, and then the leader of Armenia went to Moscow and suddenly announced that he was joining the Eurasia Economic Union. The expectation is that Armenia was made an offer it couldn't refuse, and in part that reflected Armenian dependency on Russia, located next door to Azerbaijan, with which it has an ongoing dispute over Nagorno-Karabakh. And between Turkey, the Armenians have always been fairly heavily dependent on the Russians, and the sense is that the Russians probably played on that to get Armenia to join the Eurasian Economic Union.
Okay, so briefly in closing, I wonder if you can tell us about what President Putin is facing at home now, because oil and gas accounts for over two-thirds of the Russian export, and revenue from energy sales make up well over half of the Russian government's revenue. If energy prices remain low, what does that mean for the president?
Well, it means that the Russian budget is going to encounter some difficult times. You have a situation now where the price that Russia is getting for oil is probably down about $50 per barrel compared to what it was at the beginning of the year. And the combination of that low oil price, which is very important in terms of revenues to the Russian budget, and economic sanctions from the West is going to make it a very difficult year for Mr. Putin and his economy.
All right. Thank you for speaking with us. Stephen Pfeiffer, former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. He's director of the Arms Control and Nonproliferation Initiative at the Brookings Institution. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.